If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Mark, chapter 11. Mark, chapter 11. Certainly, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I've enjoyed this good singing. It seemed like every song that was sung was a blessing in my heart. And I know the Lord has His part in that, and even in the leading of the songs. And He knows our heart. He knows what we need. And we can come when our cup's empty, and He'll fill them up and run them over if we'll just trust Him to do that. I need your prayer, as always. I need your prayer. Try to bring out the Lord's message, Mark 11. Tonight, what I want to do is continue to look at our local church, Clear Branch Landmark Missionary Baptist Church. What does God want from us presently? I know I'm asked that question, I guess, the last six or seven services, and we looked at the past before that. We looked at church in the past, but the last several weeks we've looked at what does God want from us presently. You know, a lot of times we can get overwhelmed by looking out at the world and what's everybody else doing. Really and truly, what everybody else is doing does not affect Clear Branch. We are Clear Branch. And so what does God want from us? And we don't need to look out to see what God wants. I believe we can look in His Word. God will show us. He'll lead us by His Spirit. He is the head of the church. We need to give Him that place and let Him lead us. And if we'll just do what God has for us to do, we don't have to worry about everything else. Let's worry about what God wants us. And I say worry about it. Maybe that's a poor choice of words, but you understand what I'm saying. We must consider the season that we are in. It's very important that we do that, because a lot of times you hear churches and seem like even the pastor, and I know I've probably been guilty at some point or another, but we like to look back how things used to be. Well, the problem with that is we can't live back then. We've got to live now. And we've got to deal with the circumstances we face now. And we've got to handle what God has given us now. And we can't look back and say, well, they did it like this back then, so that's the way we are supposed to do it. We have to look and say, God, how do we handle what we need to handle presently? And I think we need to be in that mindset. Nothing wrong with looking back. Nothing wrong with reminiscing. And I know we've done some of that already, just looking back at the church and its founding, and even going back to the church in Bible times. And it's good to look back at that and see what they went through, see the faith that they had. But God has a work for us to do, and where much is given, much is required. So we need to look to the Lord to see what He wants us to do and how He wants us to do it. So we need to consider. I said the seasons change, times change. You say, I don't like change. Well, it really don't matter if you like it or not. It's going to change. Things change, but we don't have to change our stand with the Lord. God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we can just tune into Him, and He knows what we need and how we need it. But the age that we're in, you know, we speak about the Laodicean church age and how that Lord said we need to look at how miserable we are and repent of that. And we need to look at how wretched we are, and we need to repent of that. And I believe we've all can look and see that this is a day and time where, with as much blessing as we have, it seems like we are also, many times you look and seem like people are miserable. It seems like we're stressed to the max. It seems like that we're, you know, anxious about everything, and we're, you know, let a lot of things bother us. And the Lord said, you need to repent of that. And so, considering the age that we are in, the Laodicean church age, what we need to do is what God has for us presently. Now, I believe two or three lessons ago, we briefly mentioned how that we need to pray for the current mission that God would have for Clear Branch. I believe God has a mission for His people. He always did. I know Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. That means He was on a mission. Something I've got to go do. And His church went with Him, and they were involved in that. And from going to meet with the woman at the well, He pointed out that, look, the field is wide in the harvest. the laborers, they're few. And how he showed them that there's a work for you, a mission for you to do presently if you will just open your eyes. And keep in mind, the head, Christ, led them to that place and pointed out to them, you have a mission to do right here and right now. And so I believe that there's something that the Lord wants us to get on board and do as a body. You say, well, what is that? I believe, first of all, and we'll deal with that tonight, and that's prayer. We need to be praying together. We need to be on board together. Often when prayer is mentioned, Brother Matt, that's as far as it goes. We mention prayer. Now, whenever it comes to leading in prayer, you know, we have public prayer. Prayers are led. But many times you say, I want you to pray for me. We do live in a time of Instagram and Facebook and all of that. And it has become very, very custom for people to say, we need to pray about such and such. This is going on. And somebody reads that and they turn around and they pass that information. We need to pray about such and such. This is going on. I won't say this, and I don't want us to take it the wrong way, but the prayer request does not replace nor is equal to the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. You can make requests all day. That does not replace actually praying. And I think that we have gotten into the habit of that, to just make a request, and then, well, we made the request. God knows. But God wants us to have a relationship with Him, and so He wants us to stop and talk with Him, to have prayer. And not just to have prayer, but to effectually pray. And, you know, many times we talk about how busy we are. Busyness does not equal faithfulness. We need to be faithful in the work that God has us to do. And that means sometimes we have to prioritize. Because if we're not putting God first, then we have left our first love. And that takes us back to a whole other lesson. But tonight, Mark chapter 11, verse 15. Mark 11, 15. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money chargers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. Now, I want us to get this picture, because I think this is a picture that's overlooked about Jesus a lot of times. We talk about the love of God, and we talk about, you know, the meekness of Christ. But Jesus was a man. And Jesus, he was not just some pushover, but rather he saw something that was a grievous thing to him. He saw God, he saw religious people, they had gotten so accustomed to doing things a certain way, they had quit thinking about what this is doing to the house of the Lord, and they had turned this place into, he called it, a den of thieves. They're getting rich off of the Lord's house. And so he rebuked them, and we know in another place he planted a whip and run them out. He flipped their chairs over that they were sitting in, their money tables. He flipped it over because this disgusted him so much. And he reminded them of all things, God's house is to be a house of prayer. A house of prayer. The lesson for Clear Branch presently is that we need to refocus as a house of prayer. I know there's a lot of things, and we've talked about a lot of things over, last couple of months. But for us to see that God's house has always been and always needs to be the house of prayer. Christ's house, and again, when I say that, I want us not to focus so much on the building. I've said this many times, if this building was destroyed tomorrow, we could still come down here and meet. God's church could still come here and have church. We're not talking about the building. In fact, Christ's house is made up of lively stones. Those stones are church members. And Clear Branch is the Lord's church. We're His members. And so we members need to be a praying house. And you may say, Brother Brad, I don't have any problem whatsoever in my prayer life. If that's the case, awesome. That is wonderful. You keep on keeping on. You keep on fighting the fight. Be the prayer warrior that you are. But for many of us, if we're not careful, we will neglect a good prayer life. And I know that there's self-help books and, you know, how to pray and when to pray and all these different steps to go through how somebody might pray. But I want to get on our heart this, that we need to first have faith in prayer. God's people need to be a praying people. If there's anything that is faded away in our day, I believe we have become where we are not the praying people that we once were. Times have changed. Things are different. Look, again, we're in the information age and everybody does their studies and everybody is looking at all different types of information. And a lot of people are just concluding, well, God's going to do what God's going to do, and prayer's not going to do anything. If it don't do anything else, it helps us to get on the right page with Him. Prayer helps us to get on the right page with Him. But I believe this. I believe prayer does change things. I believe there's plenty of evidence in Scripture. And so when I say refocus on prayer, if you could imagine all of us, God's people, Clear Branch, if we had the faith to lay all of our burdens and all of our decisions and all of our requests and all of our desires and all of our questions at His feet and trust Him to help us. When I say decision, help us to know which decisions to make. When I say prayer request, trust Him that God knows best on this request that I've made. I'm going to trust Him. In all things, just trust the Lord in prayer. I believe that make all the difference in the world. And I want to try to prove that with Scripture tonight. When I say refocus, to put more emphasis on prayer and make sure that our prayers are availing much. You know, there's praying, and then there's praying with purpose. There's praying, and then there's prayer that availeth much. So let's turn, you know where I'm going, but James chapter 5. I know we could all say, well, I have prayed about a certain thing and I prayed for a long time and God didn't change. God went ahead and done what He wanted to do. We could probably all say that. There's been times when I feel like prayer worked, and there's times when I feel like prayer didn't work, at least in my mind, the way I thought it was supposed to. I asked Him for something, God did something else. We could all say that's happened, and that is true. But prayer is not simply about getting my will accomplished in heaven. It's about getting God's will accomplished here. And it's about us becoming closer to Him and having a greater relationship with Him. And even when something we might think this is a bad thing, when that bad thing happens, to know how to deal with it and how to comprehend it and how to even live with it and how to move on from it. God helps us with those things. And even through hard times sometimes, that God is able to help us grow. And God has a plan that is, ultimately, it's bigger than us. But if you look at James chapter 5, verse 13, it says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any married? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he committeth sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sin. Not all prayer is effectual. Not all prayer gets the results. I know that it's said many times, you know, God answers prayer, and that God hears all prayers. You know, Proverbs 28, verse 9 says that he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. That's God's word. That we can live in such a way that our prayer would be hindered. 1 Peter chapter 3, if you was to read that, and if you take notes, write that down. 1 Peter chapter 3 there gives some instruction to a husband and to a wife, and he talks about the place of the husband, he talks about the place of the wife, and he talks about their responsibilities, and he mentions the wife is the weaker vessel, you know that verse. And but he goes down and he speaks about how that they're to come together so that their prayers be not hindered. That a husband and a wife can do things to maybe hinder their prayer life. He didn't say stop it altogether, but he talked about them being hindered. Matthew 5 speaks of bringing our gifts to the altar. And if you brought a gift to the Lord to the altar, and you remember that you've offended a brother, or that you're offended with that brother, he said, you leave that gift right then and there, go to that brother, get it cleared up, and then come back and offer to the Lord. Well, our altar is in heaven. How do we get to our altar? Through prayer. And if we are coming to the Lord in prayer, and there's something that I know that maybe I've got some hard feelings toward this one, or they have some hard feelings toward me, that if I will go and get that fixed, I might take care of a hindrance that could be there. So, we won't be a praying church. And we want our prayers to avail much. And so, I think it's very important that I look at myself, you look at yourself, everybody looks at yourself, and let's clean up the hindrances. If there's any there, I'm not saying anybody has any, but if they're there, let's clean them up. That we have faith in the Lord that God will hear our prayers. And so let's do what we need to do. Make sure we come in faith, nothing wavering. Remember the Lord said, if anybody wants wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to every man liberally and upbraideth not. But he goes on, he said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think that he's, or expect anything of the Lord. He shouldn't expect anything of the Lord, because he does not have faith in the Lord even to hear that prayer. And so let's make sure that we have faith in the Lord, and that we do our part. If there's hindrances in our life, that we make sure that we work on those things so that we can be a praying people. Let it start with me. If there's hindrances with me, I need to go and let me check that. Am I living my life the way that God wants me to, according to His Word? To be a house of prayer is important, and I think it's so important that I said, let it start with me, Brother Mike. It needs to be contagious. That it shouldn't just be me. It shouldn't just be you. But it should be, and look, if it is just me, if it is just you, don't stop. Don't stop. If you're the only person here that's got a good, faithful prayer life, you keep on going. But boy, if it could become contagious, and not just one, but two. Look over at Matthew 18. Matthew 18. And verse 18 says here, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven." That, I tell you, that's a lot of power that's given to God's people, to the church. That all power is given to the Lord in heaven and earth, and then He turns around and gives us power. As long as we're looking to Him, as long as He's our head. Look at verse 19 again. "I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So not only just you praying, but if it becomes contagious and there's more than one, two of us agree together, the church gains much power than when they're in one accord. And that's what the Lord is building here, Brother Joy, is that we as God's people are to be in one accord. And we're to be focused on His will. Now, I know somebody said, "Well, I prayed that God would give me a Lamborghini and I don't have it yet." I don't believe that's what He's pointing out here. He's talking about spiritual matters, spiritual things. And you know, when there's something spiritual and we get together and we begin to pray about it, and then we've got others that get concerned about that same thing, that there's great power in that. We're not just... I'm thankful we all come to church and you're so faithful to come to church, and that's a blessing. It's good that we come. But I'm not talking about just coming to church together. We say, well, we're in one accord because we come to church together. Not just enjoying a day of worship without disagreement. Let's go beyond that. Coming together on specific issues. Getting concerned about things together. That I've got a burden for this and you've got a burden for it. And this burden begins to grow, and now we're praying about this thing together. Just give you an example. Women's Bible study started coming together at some point. I don't know how long Miss Jackie's been going on now, but several years now. And you ladies come together. And you ladies begin to agree on some things. And some things become important to you. And you begin to pray on those things together. And you begin to seek the Lord together. And you begin to study together. And God has used that Bible study. I know in ways that maybe even some of you ladies don't realize fully that people have talked to me about. But God has used this study to further His work. Not all churches have a women's Bible study group. Not everybody does. And I'm going to say this. I don't know that every church needs one, but Clear Branch did. And it's been a blessing. God has used that. People coming together, getting concerned together, being in one accord together. Now, you may have a burden, but you keep it hidden. And I may have a burden over here, and I keep my burden hidden. We cannot come together on that unless we embrace it by faith and become willing to share that. Hey, I've got a burden about this, church. And then, you know, somebody else says, you know, that's something we need to be praying about. And we begin to pray about this thing. Just give you something to think about. It just off the top of my head, you know, revival's coming up. We hadn't called anybody for revival yet. But you know what God's plan is for that is that we begin to pray about it. And this one over here gets concerned about revival. And this one over here gets concerned about revival. We begin to pray about revival. And God puts a man on somebody's heart. And that name is brought up and the man is chosen. And he says he can come. And now we've got a common goal. We can pray for this man. We can begin praying for our revival right now. Or we could have been praying for it 6 months ago. But to pray about that and get concerned about it, and I tell you, it makes a difference. When we get on the same page and in one accord with a common goal, and we get concerned about that. And you know, I just give them two examples off the top of my head. It might be a lost person you've been talking to. You may come and say, I got a prayer request. I want you to pray for so-and-so. If we're not careful, that would be about as far as it goes. Well, we made the request. But look, to get that prayer list, see that prayer request, that's a burden on somebody's heart. Let me get concerned about it as well. Let me start praying about it. We all start doing it together. Makes a difference. The church gathered in one accord concerned over Peter, didn't they? He went to prison. They was going to kill him. They got concerned about that. They said, let's come together. Special prayer service. Come together. Let's pray about this thing. And they prayed about that in one accord. And there's so much power. I think many times we don't even... a lot of times we look and say, well, there's a lot of power back then. But we don't have that kind of power today. God still gives His church power. But we have to see that, and we have to see the need for it. And they said, we're going to pray for Peter. And they got together, and they began to pray for Peter. And God sent them a miracle as they witnessed. I'm going to tell you, there have been times in my life where I've seen some things that shocked me, just like that woman was shocked. She slammed the door in his face. God has done that a time or two in my life where I just as shocked. Good things happen whenever we do pray. So Acts 13 mentioned when two or three come together, what happens when a whole church does that. Acts 13 and verse 1. Now there were in a church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. I know I've read that so many times here. That is such a blessing to me. Whenever you hear of people that are fasting, things have gotten serious. They've gotten serious with the Lord. I think if fasting means anything, it means that we're going to put aside everything else, get everything out of our way, so that we can focus on what's at hand. And when somebody says, let's get together and fast together, I don't know all about what their burden was, but we know what the answer was. And so I just assumed they were looking at the Great Commission and wondering how. Joe, I think they were saying, God, you gave us the Great Commission, go into the world, preach the gospel, but every time we do, people get their heads cut off. Or are they getting stoned? Or are they getting cut in half or thrown in prison? So if we're going to do this, then God, show us how. Because I don't see the how. You know, sometimes we deal with things in life and say, Lord, I know maybe this is what you want, but I don't see the how. Maybe here as a church, God put a burden on our heart and we say, well, here's the burden, but I don't see the how. So they come together. We're going to get serious about this. We're going to pray together. We're going to minister together. We're going to fast even over this thing. And they come together in one accord. A common burden. And the Holy Ghost said. And what he said does not seem that dramatic. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to send out two men. But this church coming together, seeking God together, obedient together, fervently praying together, was led on a course that would forever impact the world for the cause of Christ. They did God's kingdom work through prayer. That's amazing. Not everybody went out, did they? But they sent two missionaries out. And those two missionaries saw so much. God delivered so much through them. God blessed so much through them. Churches were established all over the world because of what they did. And it was not just, and I've tried to preach about those that carried Paul in the basket. Those that put Paul in a basket, let him down. That was the people working behind the scenes. This was not just a Paul and Barnabas show. Or Saul. It says Saul here at this time. It was Paul, but he sometimes mentioned as Saul. But it wasn't just a Paul and Barnabas show. This was the church. And the church received the glory. And they were able to rejoice in giving and receiving because of what they were doing, even though maybe it kind of goes behind the scenes. Clear Branch, presently we need to be a praying church, a church who believes in the power of prayer, with a heart that, as the old song goes, wherever He leads, I'll go. If we were willing, God, if You lead me over here, I'll go. And if God leads, then we get behind that person with all of our heart and support him. You pray for me. We'll ask for a song.